Now is the morning worship time where we get to hear from our guest speaker. I don't know how many of you know Charlotte Stanglin. I must see some hands. How many of you know Charlotte Stanglin? A lot of you know Charlotte. I noticed Lloyd didn't raise his hand. Charlotte has been involved with the yearly meeting. They lived just south of LeGrand for quite some time. They've been involved quite as long as I've been around. They've been involved in the yearly meeting and Stavanger Friends down in LeGrand. They're now living down in Oskaloosa. Charlotte was just recorded as a minister last year, and now you're teaching at William Penn. And I've known Charlotte for a little over 20 years, and Charlotte has been a very major impact in my life in teaching me and giving me words of wisdom and guidance, and I'm very much looking forward to hearing what the Lord has for you to share with us today, Charlotte.
Thank you. Good morning. Good to be here with you. You want to turn with me? Our scripture is going to be Matthew 9, verses 9 to 17. Matthew 9, 9 to 17. When I started praying about this Sunday and about your church and asked God what to talk about, he gave me this scripture right away. And I felt like he was saying the sermon was supposed to be about stepping into the new. I want to tell you right up front, he didn't tell me what that means for you, but I think he's got something in mind, something that he wants you to step into. And I know you're getting a new pastor, and I think that's a little bit of it, stepping into a new situation with a new pastor, but I don't think that's all of it. I think God has other things in mind. Sometimes when you look around at what's going on in the world, it kind of looks like the world's winning and the church is losing. But God has a plan. And I think God is moving things around. It's kind of like the curtain's closed right now on the second act. God's setting the stage and he's moving people around. He's getting people into place and he's getting ready for a move of God. And the church has to be ready for that move. And that means things have to be moved into place before the curtain opens, before God does what he wants to do. And in order for that to happen, we've got to get in gear and get to where we can really hear God. And I was really encouraged when I heard that you'd spent a week in prayer before you chose your pastor. And I think that's the kind of thing we need to do, is have corporate prayer where we listen to God and say, what is it that you want us to do and to be? I teach at Penn, and every week I come into contact with students who have no idea about Jesus Christ, that he died for them, that there's forgiveness for sins, that there's a whole other way of life. That doesn't mean they've never heard of church. They know about church. Most of them have not grown up in church. Most of them have never been inside the church, but they know there's a church. They know what church people look like and act like, and they don't think it has any relevance for their lives. They see absolutely nothing at church to draw them in because they don't see God. And the church has got to listen to God and hear what he's saying, or we're going to miss a whole generation of young people. Kids that have not grown up in church, who've never heard about God, are going to miss out if the church doesn't wake up and say, Lord, how do we reach them? How do we get to that place where we can reach this generation? And so God is saying, step into the new. And that's what this sermon is about. And I can't tell you what the new is for you. You have got to listen to God and hear that for yourself. But God is speaking if we will just listen. So let's look at Matthew 9, starting with verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Okay, so Matthew's sitting here at his tax office. Jesus comes along, and he knows who Jesus is, because Jesus has been healing people, and we've already had the Sermon on the Mount, so he's heard all about Jesus. And Jesus walks up to him, he looks him in the eye, and he says, follow me. Jesus wanted Matthew. And he rose right up and he followed him. Now, I want you to think about yourself where you're going to be Monday morning at your place of work. Maybe it's an office. Maybe if you're a homemaker, it's at home. Or if you're retired, it's at home. Maybe if you're a farmer, it's outside on your tractor. Maybe if it, you know, wherever it is, you go on Monday morning. Maybe you're a student, probably not in school right now, so you're out messing around on Monday morning. But whatever it is you do on Monday morning, picture yourself there, and Jesus walks up to you, and he says, follow me. I have something new for you to do, something different. What's your immediate reaction? I've got 100 things I've got to do first, right? Or I can't leave this. This is my security, my comfort, my what I know. You know, we have 100 excuses why we can't do it right now. We might do it later. It's always out there somewhere. But if God said to you, I want you to do something new today, could you step into it? Would you step into it? That was what God said to Matthew, and Matthew jumped up and followed God. I think there's a lot of things in our past that hold us back, that keep us from going where God wants us to go. Sometimes it's just the security of what we already know. Sometimes it's emotional things that pull on us. Things like anger and hurt feelings or grief that we're hanging on to and we can't seem to let go of. And those can hold us back. It can be lots of different things. But if we're letting those things keep us from stepping into the new, we're going to miss what God's doing. I need to find my notes somewhere. Excuse me a minute. I've got some here. Oh, I want to share with you a dream that Phil DeBooth shared. I've been going to New Sharon Church most of the time because I've been preaching there about once a month. And Phil DeBooth shared this dream that he had one time when he was preaching there. And he dreamed that he was at Lacey, Iowa. Lacey, Iowa is not a very big town. And some cows had gotten loose. And he and a friend were trying to round up these cows. And they were running around trying to round up cows in Lacey, Iowa. He said he was running along the ground, and all of a sudden, instead of running horizontally, he was running vertical, and he was going up. And Christ was there. It's the second coming. And he looked over, and his friend was going up. And he looked at the house, and his wife was coming up through the roof. And he woke up, and he said the thought that gripped him was, it's a good thing I'm not hanging on to anything. And that thought has come back to me so many times. Is there anything we're hanging on to that when God moves or God comes, we're going to be too busy hanging on to go with him? And I think that's true not just for the second coming, but when he says, move now to do something new. We have to not be hanging on to everything. Everything has to be in an open hand, and we say, God, take what you want. And that's not easy to do. We have to be ready to step into the new. Let's read on here, verse 10. Now it came to happen as Jesus sat, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. I looked up that verse that he's quoting there. I call sinners, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The rest of that verse is, and this is in the New International Version, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. They want to know why he's eating with tax collectors and sinners. They had a whole system of sacrifices and burnt offerings and rules about purity, and the whole idea was to be able to come into the presence of God and to worship him. And the irony was that God was in their midst, and they didn't know it. God was sitting at the table with them, and they were worrying about a process to get into his presence. and he was there with them. Could that happen today? Could we be doing church and missing God? Could we be coming in and going through the motions and doing all the things that are supposed to bring us into his presence, and God moves in our midst and we don't even know it? I think it could. I think it does. We're worrying about the traditions. We're worrying about the procedures to get into his presence. And we're missing God as a church. What are your traditions? I know what a lot of the Quaker traditions are, and I don't know how many of you are hanging on to really tight, but maybe you've got to have church at a certain time. Some churches get really emotional about changing the time of worship. Or doing away with Sunday school. Changing their midweek meeting from one day to another. How we're going to do communion. Someone in the church wants to be baptized in water, no less. You know, are those things that are just going to tear us apart? Those are things that are designed to bring us into God's presence. They're not God's presence. They're designed to bring us into his presence. And if they become God to us, if they become an idol to us, then we need to get rid of them. We need to change it up just so that we get out of our rut and find God again. They were helpful several hundred years ago for people to get into God's presence. But if they're not working for this generation, we better figure out what does work to bring them into God's presence and do it. There's such a thing as a religious spirit. A religious spirit is a spirit that honors what God did in the past while rejecting what God's doing today. And the church has often been guilty of that. We have honored what God did in the past and rejected what God's doing in the moment. So we have to find out what he's doing so we can move with God as he's moving. Let's read a little farther here. Then the disciples of John came to him and said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And my understanding is it was kind of the tradition to fast once a week at that time. And again, this is part of the process of coming into God's presence, of keeping yourself holy and pure. And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?" And that's that contrast again. Here's Jesus in our midst. We're celebrating. We're having a party because we're already in God's presence. And you're saying, let's fast and get into God's presence. You're missing it. You're missing the point. "But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." He gives us three illustrations here. He gives us the bridegroom being there and celebration compared to fasting, the old cloth with a new patch, and the new wine and the old wineskins. And he's giving us some contrast there. And he's saying, you know, I'm doing something new here. I'm doing something fantastic here. And you're worrying about this old way of doing things. You're worrying about doing church the way you've always done church. And I'm saying, I want to do something new, something exciting, something where God is in your midst. In John, it says, "My sheep know my voice." Do we know his voice? Are we really hearing God for today? Are we really hearing what he's saying to do? I think some churches are. Some churches are moving into the new. But a lot of our friends' churches are getting smaller and smaller. And it's not that there's not people who need God. We're missing somehow how to reach people for God. There are a few churches who are willing to change. I know In La Grande, they got down to where there's almost nobody in Sunday school, no children in Sunday school, just a handful of children. And so they've started a midweek meeting for kids. And they have a great turnout midweek. Between 60 and 80 kids come midweek. And then on Sunday mornings for Sunday school, they still just get that handful, less than a dozen kids that come for Sunday school. But they're reaching the children of that community with their midweek service because they've been willing to change. Smyrna, a little church out in the middle of nowhere, doesn't have any youth group of their own, any young people of their own, but a woman in the community wanted to start a youth group in their church, and so there's a flourishing youth group in their church on during the middle of the week, but they don't come on Sunday morning. We have to be willing to look at new ways of doing things, new structures, new ideas about how to meet the needs of our community. I love the butterfly and the caterpillar. It's perfect. I mean, it may, you know, if the church may completely change the way it looks, it may change from a caterpillar to a butterfly, but inside it's the same. You know, we talk about the new garment, putting a patch on a new garment. The garment's just the outer covering. It's not what's inside. The beliefs are the same. We're not going to change the fact that Jesus is the only way to God. We're not going to change the fact that everyone needs salvation and forgiveness. We're not going to change the fact that the Bible's true. We've got to hang on to those truths of who we are. But the outer garment can look completely different. It doesn't have to look like a caterpillar. It can look like a butterfly. And it can still be the same on the inside. And God's asking us to be willing. If he stepped in and said, I don't like the way you do church. I'm not comfortable here. I want to shake things up and turn it around and put it on its head. It's basically what Jesus said to the Jews. He said, you've been doing church a long time, and I don't like it. You're missing God. I'm going to shake it up. But if he said that to you today, would you be willing to make a change? Would it be kind of scary? The new wine and the new wineskins. Wine speaks of the Holy Spirit. The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit more than once. Did you know that? We all know about Acts 2. But you remember in the upper room when Jesus came back to the disciples in the upper room, he said, he breathed on them and they were what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. But then he told them, wait in Jerusalem until you're filled again. And so they waited in Jerusalem until they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 2. Acts 5, they're doing it again. I think it's 5 or it might be 4. It's after the lame man was healed. Peter and John prayed for the lame man at the temple, the beggar at the temple, and he was healed. And they were arrested. And then when they were released, they went back and met with the rest of the church. And they gathered together and they prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit that they might be bold for God. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. Now, if the disciples needed 3 infillings, we haven't had enough yet. We need to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. But God can't pour new wine into old wineskins because they'll break. I believe the Holy Spirit has moved among friends several times when we've squashed it. One example that I want to mention is John Wimber that started the Vineyard Church. Did you know John Wimber was a Quaker? He was at Yorba Linda Friends Church in California. Lloyd and I got to hear him and his wife speak in 1991 at a French United meeting. They had an Enabling Ministries conference, and his wife, Carol, told how that church at Yorba Linda Friends Church, the women in that church prayed for revival to come. And they prayed and prayed, and revival came. And the way she described it, it was like pouring out honey from a jar. And some people liked it because it was warm and it was sweet and it was soothing. And some people hated it because it was sticky and it was messy and it made things more difficult for them. And they asked John and Carol and others to leave because they didn't like what was going on. So they left. And they started Vineyard. Over you know, hundreds of churches have started from that flow of the Holy Spirit that was supposed to be in the Friends Church. God released that Holy Spirit in the Friends Church, and we rejected it. Now, I don't know how many other times that's happened, but I know God wants to revive Friends. He wants to pour out His Holy Spirit, but we've got to be willing for Him to put it in new wineskins. We've got to be willing to change. It does get messy when God takes control. And it is scary because we're not in control anymore. And we have to stay in tune with Him or we lose, you know, things can get out of control. And it may not look right to other churches. So that fear of man comes up. What will other people think? We're not doing church the way we've always done church. We don't look like those quiet Quakers that we've always been. God's doing something different over there, Bangor Liberty. And so all our fears come into play. What's going to happen? But you can trust God. God's going to do something good. He's not going to do something to hurt you. And you can trust Him to lead you in the right direction. If we'll just get in tune and listen to the Holy Spirit. If we'll spend time corporately listening and say, God, what do you want to do to reach this generation? How can we do it? He'll give you vision. He'll give you a way to do it. He may be speaking to you individually and saying, I want you to move from this place to this place. Or I want you to change from this occupation to this occupation. Or I want you to do something different in your spare time than you've been doing. And it may seem kind of scary, maybe even a little crazy. But God's doing that right now. He's shifting people around. He's getting things in position. He's getting His church ready. And I believe there's going to be a harvest of souls of this younger generation. I know that people are praying all over for revival. I know Lloyd and I have been involved with the House of Prayer in Kansas City a little bit, and a House of Prayer in Laurel. And for 7 years, they've had night and day prayer in Kansas City for revival of the younger generation. Now, people don't pray like that if God's not moving on their hearts. And God doesn't move on your heart to pray for revival and then not bring it. And so it's coming. And God's preparing His church right now to receive that harvest. And the question is if we'll be ready. If we'll be willing to step into the new. And we can't wait until it happens. We have to be where God wants us to be now. Be doing what God wants us to do now. And so we've got to have listening hearts. We've got to spend time in prayer. We've got to get to know the voice of the Father. I'd like to turn to Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. I want to talk about how we do that, how we step into the new. Jesus is our example in this, and in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it refers to Jesus and His example. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. The cross is what it's all about. It's about bringing to death our selfish desires, our selfish ambition, everything that has to do with self, and letting that die on the cross. And death is always painful. It's not fun to let go of the old. It's not fun to bring it to the cross. And it's sometimes hard because the world has a hold on us, and it's hard to let go. But Jesus is our example in this, and He shows us how to do it. Says He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. And what was that joy that was set before Him? It was you. It was me. It was each and every person. He had His eye on us. And he said, that's my inheritance. Yeah, he was going to go back to the Father, but he had that before. He didn't have to go to the cross to be with the Father. He had to go to the cross to be with us. And we were the joy that was set before him. He delights in us. He loves us. He's excited about us. And he was willing to endure the cross. And that's what we have to do. We have to get our eyes off ourselves and say, God, I'm holding everything with an open hand because of the joy that's set before me. And that joy for us is Jesus Christ. On the other side of the cross was the resurrection and the power and the glory. And he doesn't ask us to go to the cross just to suffer. He asks us to go to the cross to get to the other side where there's joy and there's glory and there's the presence of Jesus Christ in our midst, and we know it. I have been in churches where every Sunday morning you just know that God is there. And people want to be there just because they know it. And it's glorious. And it's exciting. And it's real. And God's going to bring you to that place as you bring the old to death and step into the new. I want us to take just a moment of silence before we close in prayer to think and to ask God, is there anything in my life that you're saying, bring the old to death or step into the new, and that I've been hesitating to do it? Just ask him to show you your heart. Are with us today. Help us not to get caught up in church and miss what you're doing. Help us to celebrate your presence with us each day. I pray a blessing on Bangor Liberty as they step into the new with a new pastor. I pray that you'd bless them, that you'd multiply them, that you'd prosper them, and that you'd give them vision for how to reach people of this generation. Lord, thank you that you have a plan and it's glorious and you want to bring us into it. Help us to look forward to that with hope and with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.